With you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." Then he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out, to cure every disease and every illness. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them in this way: "Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Without cost you have received, without cost you are to give." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We've been speaking all week about the double dynamism of Advent. Christ is coming. And we, like those wise bridesmaids, go out with lamps lit, with hearts waiting for the Lord to embrace him. But that embrace is supposed to be transformative and leads to the third dynamism of Advent, which is, now united with the Lord, we go out to continue his work. We see that at the end of this first week when the church gives us this very powerful reading from St. Matthew's Gospel. There's a part that's excised from it, precisely the call of the 12. But in it we see themes that are crucial for us to grasp as we approach this year of mercy that commences on Tuesday. Jesus was going around to all the towns and villages. He wasn't stopping. He was working quite hard. He was teaching. He was announcing the gospel, which was more than just sort of the rabbinical teaching to answer their types of questions, but he was announcing something new, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And he was curing every disease and illness one by one, one sick person at a time. But when he saw the vast crowds, the crowds that wanted teaching, the crowds that were open for a new proclamation, the crowds in which so many were sick, when they looked like mangled and abandoned sheep, his heart was moved with pity. And you know that I will eventually, before the parousia or after, finish my book on this word, Ixplanknesai, from Splankton. It means that Jesus was sick to his stomach. There was a volcanic eruption inside when he saw it. He couldn't rest. His heart was exploding with pity. And then he said, "The harvest is abundant and the laborers are few. So beg the harvest master to send out laborers for his harvest." And immediately after they had finished praying, he said, "I'll take you and you and you and you and you." And he chose the 12. And then he sent them out with his same authority to go out and teach and preach and cure every disease and illness, including death. It's very important that we see that there. They were capable of raising the dead. What that meant is they were capable of resuscitating the dead, like Jesus had done with the son of the widow of Nain, with the little girl, daughter of Jairus, eventually with Lazarus. But when Jesus sends us out today, he gives us an even greater power. power over life and death, to be able to proclaim to people the one who is the everlasting word of life. But Jesus, in this collision that he has with us, his coming, our going out to meet him, that transformation is meant to transform our innards, our bowels, our heart, so that we might have a similar mercy, a similar compassion, a similar love for all those who still desperately need him. The prophet Isaiah, in today's first reading, announced so powerfully by our birthday girl, she always reads, by pouring herself into it. It says what the Messiah is going to do. He'll be gracious to you when you cry out, because that's what his nature is. He'll answer as soon as he hears you. Even though he might not give us the answer that we're hoping for, he will answer. The Lord will give you the bread you need. And little did the listeners of Isaiah recognize that he would become the living bread that they need, and the water for which you thirst. Little could they, like the Samaritan woman, anticipate that he would become that living water welling up within them to eternal life. No longer will your teacher hide himself, but with your own eyes you shall see your teacher. And that master would take on our own nature, and he would say, you've heard that it was said to you, but I say. And it would say, likewise, I am the truth. They would be able to touch their teacher with their hands. They would be able to hear their teacher with their ears. They would be able to hear and see the one who is the master of all masters. And from behind a voice shall sound in your ears, this is the way, walk in it. Jesus himself would become that way. And they were to grow in the Christian life precisely by walking together with him. All of this was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus when at last he came. For us, as we live this Advent, it's key for us to grasp how the Lord's supposed to transform us so that we become more and more a part of that third dynamism, that going out together with the Lord. We have talked throughout this last year, now 53 weeks old of this year for consecrated life. When we talk about that word consecration, we're cut off in order to be with, sacer con, cut off from the profane to be with the Lord, so that precisely as Pope Benedict likes to insist, once we're really together with the Lord, we go out and we fulfill the mission to be with the Lord, to be his body to the head, to be his bride to the bridegroom, means that we now do everything in unison. It's no longer our will that we seek, but his will. Not our kingdom, but his kingdom. Not our glory, but his glory. And he really does look out with bowel-bursting compassion on the crowds who so desperately need him. And he wants us to share that same holy yearning. Today, as we come forward here, this is where the Lord calls us to meet him. He comes down from heaven. We come with all our fatigue. We come with all our issues. We come even though some of the times we're troubled. Sometimes we feel abandoned. Sometimes we are so desperately. But we come here where he gives us himself as our food, where he gives us himself as our living water, where he himself teaches us. Because this is the Second Vatican Council, the 50th anniversary of which we're about, the conclusion of which we're about to celebrate on Tuesday. Second Vatican Council says, whenever the scriptures are proclaimed at Mass, it is Christ speaking to us live. The Lord himself comes to teach us. And he comes to transform us in all of these ways. Because the harvest is still abundant. The laborers are few. And as the church has been praying for the last 2,000 years since Jesus asked the first time that we pray to the Harvest Master, all of those prayers is the reason why we're here. Because the Lord has called each of us to be among those laborers. transformed by him in such a way that we can go out and be his mercy for the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.